in me. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you. This is the word of God. Shall we please pray? Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. In Jesus' name, we praise you. We exalt you, Lord Jesus. We exalt you that you loved us and you came to die for us, and your blood speaks on our behalf. We lift you up. Be exalted, Lord. Be magnified. Spirit of our living God, we yield to you. Thank you for your presence in our life. Thank you that you teach us, you guide us to all truth. Spirit of our living God, my teacher, I yield to you. I pray, O Lord, that you will speak to your people today. We pray you will guide us to the truth that is of your word. And even as we speak, may you touch our hearts that we might hear that which you have for us and that we shall fulfill them. And let anything that is seeking to take room in people's hearts here be dealt with in the name of Jesus. Spirit of our living God, have your way amongst us as it is in heaven. We bless you. We worship you. Father, in Jesus' name, you are exalted. Have your way. Have your way amongst us. Speak to us today. We open up and we listen. We take to go and walk by your word. In Jesus' name, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so, we are now at chapter 6. We've been at chapter 6 for a few weeks now. How many of you enjoyed last week's service, Father's Day service? God bless our fathers and our women. We thank you, women, for taking over and taking care of us. You did a great job. God bless you. We thank you so much. I was especially blessed by the message that came also from Reverend Paul Valerius. So we thank God for his ministry and his life. We are back to looking at Nehemiah chapter 6. And we see in Nehemiah chapter 6 that Nehemiah's work of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem has come to an end in terms of building the wall. The walls rebuilding had come to an end. But this wasn't an easy task. At chapter 6, the enemies of Israel realized that the work is almost done. And so what do? They waged a few attacks at the leader who was leading the rebuilding of the walls. And in that sense, the attack came in three ways. The snare of the enemy's friendship. I hope you remember that, the snare of the enemy's friendship. And then the second scandal was the subtlety of the enemy's slander. And then we also looked at the scandal of the enemy's religion, how religion can make you think you are all right with God. It can make you think. And Nehemiah, by God's grace, was able to read in between the lines. He discerned that the enemy was plotting to bring him down. You may ask yourself, who is this enemy? The ultimate enemy here is Satan. Satan, being in heaven, who, from his own doing and his heart, his deceitful nature, thought to himself that he can arise above God. And so he was able to deceive some angels and plotted a coup against God in heaven and was overthrown. If you look in Isaiah 15, it is there. And also 48, I think it's 48, I'm not sure. Sorry, let me know. So Isaiah 15 makes it clear that the enemy did that. On the other hand, you see at work that Paul says in Ephesians that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and authorities we do not know of. And so the word of God makes it clear that our enemy is really Satan, who has his fellow angels who are now demons. God created perfect Lucifer, who is now no more Lucifer. He is now Satan, and his angels that he goes around doing things with are demons, bad angels. And so they influence things in this world these days. They try to, whenever children of God have an assignment or a purpose that they have to accomplish, they come alongside and make sure that the children of God do not fulfill the purpose and the plan of God for their lives, or even as a church body. When I say church body, not this building, but we, the people who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and personal Savior, when we come together to say we are going to do something pertaining winning souls or whatever it is, the enemy will always try to rise up against it. And in many, he will use many plots and many ways. And sometimes, if even some of us allow ourselves, he will use us against God's will for our congregation here. And so we have to be very watchful. We need to depend on the grace of God to discern the enemy amongst us. We need to depend on the grace of God. And so we thank God that Nehemiah was able to discern and realize that the devil was at work through Sambalat and Tobiah and Geshem. They tried. So now we continue in the verse 15. The wall is built. The wall is completed in 52 days. Nehemiah says, so the wall was finished on, I'm looking at the verse 15. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of Elam in 52 days. Amazing. The amount of time it took to finish the job was remarkably short. The walls were in ruins for more than 100 years. And then they went right in a period of only, they went up in a period of only 52 days. Can you imagine? For 100 years and over, the walls were there. A few efforts that were made to rebuild didn't work because some enemies still rose against it, and they sent reports to the king in the king in Persia, and the king stopped the work. And so for hundred and something years, the walls were not built. You see, we are talking of the walls of Jerusalem, which were physical walls. But now, as we children of God look at the work of Nehemiah, and we read this story and the passage, we realize that the walls today are not just human walls that we need to build, are not physical walls, but spiritual. We first have to start it from within. That is why this year is our year of rebuilding. The rebuilding process is basically us going back to the table and looking at ourselves. It first has to start from within us. We are not talking of rebuilding this building. In fact, there is a lot of work that needs to be done on this building where we come to worship. But we are the human beings that makes this place a worshiping place. And we need to check our hearts. We need to look at ourselves and be asking ourselves, is there any rubble? Is there any rubbish? Is there any brokenness in ourselves that we need to now rebuild? We need to rebuild. 52 years. It doesn't matter how old you are or how long you've been living with this brokenness or whatever it is, the uncleanliness of heart that you have, you can be rebuilt. You can be rebuilt. The best can come out of you. You can be cleansed. The blood of Jesus is pure enough to purify your heart and set it free from bitterness, and set it free from hate, and set it free from fear, and set it free from discrimination, and set it free from prejudice and anything that is not of God. That is the rubble of the enemy. And set you free. I keep asking myself, why wasn't the walls rebuilt all this time? It wasn't that nobody knew that it was a problem. Those times they needed walls to feel secured. And most of us, our insecurity is from that inner place of our heart, which is not dealt with. That brokenness, that rubble, that rubbish, that heap of things that does not belong to God, that is in our heart. That is where our insecurities are from. Because you have fear in you, you have insecure. It could be so many other things. Because you don't feel close to God, because of this brokenness, you don't have any protection. God loves us, but we can't experience the love of God. We can't accept it, even though his word tells us he loves us. But because of our brokenness, we can't feel him. We are insecure. Many might have felt there were walls, and some of you here might feel that you need your walls up. You need your walls up. You need your safety in the Lord up. Walls used to be a way of protection. You need your protection back up. You might have been at that place. And even as a church congregation, as we are here, we know that we can do better. There is more we can do. And for some reason, we are not able to do it. We are vulnerable. We wish we could reach out to this world and do some more missions work and win more souls. And there are so many things we wish we could do, but we are not able to do them. And some of us feel like there's something that needs to be done about this situation. There's something that needs to be done. We have such small ideas of how God can use us. God wants to use us. God used a man like Nehemiah to set right a 100-year-old problem in less than 2 months. And the same God sits on a throne in heaven and works through me and you. Me and you, if we really come together and allow God to really work on us, we break down before him and we humble ourselves and we work together, we pull the weight together, God can do the plans, the purpose, what he wants to use West Hassing Christian Center to do in this community. He will do it. It's the same God that helped the Israelites. And this same God is the same God we call upon through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have the Holy Spirit that dwells with us to strengthen us. The same God sits on the throne. And if we call on him, we humble ourselves and we pray and we depend on him and we deal with the things in our hearts that do not allow us to engage him and encounter with him. He who is God, he is faithful, and he will do that which is just in our life. He has a purpose for me and you. Jesus said, go ye to the nations and preach the gospel. And so in 52 days, the word of God says that the walls were built. At the beginning, when he saw the need, Nehemiah prayed for 4 months. Can you imagine? Do you remember in the chapter 1, we saw that Nehemiah prayed for 4 months. But the work itself took less than 2 months. Nehemiah worked longer in prayer than they needed to work to do the job. Do you see? Nehemiah worked longer in prayer. You see, we gotta understand it. That what we are doing, if you have a purpose in your heart that you want to accomplish for God, if you have anything you want to do for God, even as a church, as we have a desire to be able to reach our neighborhood and be a blessing to our neighborhood, it has to first be won spiritually. If we do not do the spiritual work, we cannot expect the physical breakthrough to happen. And the spiritual work is spending time in prayer. Just as Nehemiah spent time for 4 good months praying, and guess what? It only took 52 days. 52 days to accomplish the task. He won the spiritual battle. We need to win the spiritual battle. It might be an issue in your heart. It might be some insecurity you have, some fear you have, some lust you have. It might be some hate you have. Whatever it is, whatever the problem is that you want to overcome, you need to be willing to do the spiritual work in order to gain the physical freedom. And so as a church, we need to be willing to do the spiritual work, which is why I would encourage us to come and pray. Which is why I would encourage us. The word of God says in 1 Chronicles, look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Again, 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their lands. Do you see? God wants us to pray. God wants us to pray. You cannot gain your victory without prayer. You need to be willing to do the physical, the spiritual work. Spend time in prayer. And that is why, as a church, I love to call for prayer meetings. Come out on Friday nights. Let us pray. Let us pray. And when we come out, we get the chance to deal with certain things. Very soon coming, we will start night vigils. We'll be praying through the night. And that is when we will get the chance to deal with certain strongholds of our heart. We have our afternoon prayers that we pray. Come out and pray. And even on your own, have a personal prayer life. Keep praying. Whatever the situation, however you feel, talk to the Father. Seek his face. He wants us to do this. Develop an intimacy with the Lord. Pray in all situations, in all circumstances. Pray in the name of our Lord Jesus. Prayer. Prayer is what will help us. Not the plenty talks and the plenty ideas. It is good to have the ideas. Without the spiritual strength, we cannot fulfill the ideas. We need to have a balance. That is why the church has so many ideas, but we are fulfilling little. Many of us are fulfilling little. Even in your homes, in your own life, in your own personal life, you are able to fulfill little because you don't spend time to do the spiritual work. We need to. And so we continue. He says, and all the nations around us saw these things, that they were very disheartened in their own eyes. When the wars was finished, their enemies were very disheartened. The devil, you see, it must please you to desire that the enemy will be disheartened. He will not be happy. He will not be happy. Pray and seek, wish and desire that this will happen, that the enemy will know. Satan and his demons and any individual person that has allowed themselves to be used by Satan to know. It is glorious thing to desire the enemy of God's people and to let to this. Sorry, it is a glorious thing to dishearten the enemy of the enemies of God's people and to let them be discouraged for a while. Don't you also want to feel like, you know, as for in this matter, God has given me victory? How many of us can actually sit down and say, I have victory? God gave me victory in this matter, in this situation, in this circumstance, and rejoice and be glad for that. It is possible. It is possible. The battles were hard. The work was big. There were challenges from within and out. But the job was now finished and victory was sweet. It is sweet. Victory is sweet. I'm telling you. when you battle with something for a long time and eventually you know that God has given me victory over this and that thing is no more in control of your life, it is sweet. That is the abundance that Jesus came to die to gain for me and you. Victory in the name of our Lord Jesus. And the Lord says that I have come that you might have life abundantly. We can, it is possible to be victorious in any area where we are battling in the name of Jesus. It is possible. So look at what happened. They perceived that this work was done by God. Do you see? The enemies eventually realized that no, for these walls to have been built in 52 days, it is definitely the work of the God of Israel. You see, people must be able to watch you and say, this girl is definitely, indeed, the handiwork of God. This Kwesi, me standing here, people have to be able to watch me and say, indeed, God's hand is upon this guy. You, people have to watch you, see you, and say, God is definitely at work in this guy's life, in this person's life, in this sister's life. And definitely in Kearney, God has to be here in such a way that our neighbors and the people of Kearney and all over the world will know that God is indeed with us here. And the work that we are doing, indeed, God is present here. But the enemy will try. He will try. The enemy is only disheartened when he sees that it is God that has done something, not human strength. When he can see it is God that has done something, he is disheartened. But if you do something in your strength, you can't fulfill it. That's why the word of God says that it is not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of God. We need to allow the Spirit of God to work on us. We need to allow the Spirit of God to use us. We need to depend on the Spirit of God. And so we work on developing a relationship with him. The Spirit of God is a person because he has personality. The word of God says that God breathed into man and gave him life. God breathed. And the presence of God, as he feels, as he gets hurt, as he can be offended, gives him personality. And so the Holy Spirit is a personality. And we need to learn to relate with him, depend on him, and allow him to give us victory. A strong, secure people of Jerusalem were a witness to surrounding nation. Many of us live Christian lives that no one take notice of because our walls are broken down. Let the Lord do a building work and others will notice. Where are you? Let the Lord do a building work and others will notice. Others will notice. So now look at chapter 6, 17 to 19. We gotta understand that this work is not work we can do on our own. The rebuilding work, whatever God is working with you on, you can't do it on your own. I understand that God bringing me here to come and serve here, I can't be your pastor on my own. I need your help. I am not a perfect human being. If you have observed me already, my personality can easily offend you. My personality may easily offend you. But I'm telling you, I need all of you in order to fulfill the vision God has given to West Hudson Christian Center. To win the souls, to go and partner with our communities to win souls. Now we are doing the rebuilding. Set your heart right. If you are here, be here with us. Pray, seek God, live your life according to the word of God. And be desiring to serve God. Whatever God has laid on your heart to do here, commit yourself to doing it. I will commit myself to doing the parts where he has given me. You need it too. As the leader, I can't do it all. Nehemiah went back to do a 100-year-old job. The people needed to build, they knew they needed to rebuild, but they didn't have a leader who had the heart to do it. And God brought Nehemiah. And when Nehemiah got there, they got up and they supported him to rebuild. Likewise, God, I believe, has brought me here for a purpose. And just as all of you, most of you here are willing that West Hudson Christian Center arises again and becomes the church that is called to this community. So I call you, stand up, let us work together. I didn't come here to destroy what God is doing here. I came to make it better, build it, build upon. And you know, in the foundations, there might be some crumples and broken, and I'm telling you, we are going to dig down deep, and we're going to break all the brokenness, and we're going to rebuild from under. And I'm telling you, if we stand on the word of God, it is possible. For all things shall pass away, but the word of God shall never pass away. We need to go back to the source, the word of God. Believe, live by its totality, not just part of it. And in doing this, I know it will be painful. It will be hurtful. But pain may endure for a night. Joy comes the morning. Joy comes the morning. So we see here, Nehemiah 6:17 to 19. I have subtitled it, "The work is finished despite some who were friends with the enemy Tobiah." This is what it says. Also, in those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters to Tobiah, and the letters of Tobiah came to me, for many in Judah were pledged to him because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Ara, and his son Jehoanna had married the daughter of Meshulam, then son of Bechia. Also, they reported this good deeds before me, and reported my words to him. Tobiah sent letters to frighten me. Do you see what's going on here? Let me tell you a little bit about Tobiah. As fact in the word of God, Nehemiah itself records it. Tobiah was the man who had opposed the rebuilding work with Sanballat. In Nehemiah chapter 2 verse 10, he was disturbed that Nehemiah came to rebuild the work. Again, in Nehemiah 2:19 and Nehemiah 4:3, he mocked Nehemiah's work. In Nehemiah 4:7, he was angry that the work was being done. Tobiah was angry that God's rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem were being done. In Nehemiah chapter 6 verse 1, he was one of the men who tried to get Nehemiah to stop the work and come to the plain of Ono where he would be attacked. Do you see? Tobiah's actions throughout this passage, the book of Nehemiah, has clearly shown that the guy was an enemy to the nation of Israel. But yet still, he had some noble people who were in relation with him. Nobles of the land of Israel, the people of Israel with him. This person had sought in his heart to be an enemy. It is very clear from these facts that Tobiah was an enemy to the work of God. Who is the enemy that you are relating with? We have many friends, many relatives, but who is an enemy? Jesus says in Mark 9, Verse 40. For whoever is not against us is for us. So whoever rises against the work of God and does not give honor to the word of God is an enemy. This enemy can be your sister sitting by your side by now. Can be your brother that you lie in bed with. If that person does not uphold to the totality of the word of God and undermines the authority and the calling and the supremacy of God's word, this person is an enemy. And so we have to be very careful. For many in Judah were pledged to him. You see, there are reasons why Tobiah being a clear enemy, some people were relating with him. And we are going to look at it three ways. Three ways. The first one is Jewish brothers of Nehemiah could not see what was so plain to Nehemiah. You see, there are reasons why people don't see the enemy. We just don't see that he's an enemy. We don't realize or see that somebody is an enemy or see the enemy at work. Even though we are relating with the person, we just don't see. We are blind and ignorant to it. And most of the times, it's also because we ourselves, we are not holding on to the integrity and the totality of the word of God. If you are reading the Bible and heeding to it full counsel, and you are in the spirit praying at all times with this word on your heart that you may not sin against God, you will know when the enemy is relating with you. Perhaps they did not see much work of evil. It is so subtle when the enemy is among you. You don't see the work of the evil that they do. May the Lord Almighty open our eyes. We see how it is important. You remember in chapter 5, I did teach about discernment, how to discern. And it is important that we children of God start to descend these days. Because that person that appears to be a nice friend, a good brother, whatever, may not be as you see them to be. So then the second one may just be that they did not have a shepherd heart. They were nobles. They are supposed to be leaders of the Israelites. But yet still, they were relating with the enemy. The one who was against God's work. Maybe they just didn't have a shepherd's heart. A shepherd is somebody that protects. A shepherd provides. A shepherd cares for the flock. So leaders here, you are shepherds. You take care of that which God has given us, all of us here. Me, you, all of us. Whether you are a leader, you are not a leader, we are supposed to have the shepherd heart. Care for one another. Look out for one another. Encourage one another. Bless one another. Protect the evil from finding way to enter amongst us. To come and cause disruption and hinder us from fulfilling God's purpose. We need to have that shepherd heart. And Jesus is the perfect shepherd. He says, I am the shepherd. And so if we are depending on Jesus, and Jesus is relating with us through his spirit, the Holy Spirit, the natural shepherdness will come out of us. And the last reason is they had personal interest. These people were pledged to him, as the passage says. They were pledged to him. They had personal business dealings with him. And so because they have this personal dealings and doings with him, they became snitchers. They became gossipers for him. They became betrayers of children of God. The integrity of the word of God was totally undermined by them. We have to become people who hold to the full integrity of the word of God. That we do not allow some, you see, it is easy to choose what you want to choose from the word of God. But the totality and the sovereignty of God's word needs to be held into higher place. And as a body of Christ, we have to understand that it is by the love of our Lord Jesus Christ that he came to die on the Calvary cross. And because of this love that he shared, we are now together here, seated here by his grace. And that work of Jesus that is done, we need to uphold it. We need to be willing to stand and fight the enemy for it. Jesus didn't die. Jesus didn't die that we allow the devil to have room amongst us and undermine the totality of God's word. That is not what Jesus died for. Sorry, mommy. Please pick it up. That is not what Jesus died for. And so, as a family here, you are my brother. You are my brother. You are my sister. But when you do something wrong, I have to be able to tell you what you are doing is wrong. And if I do something wrong, you have to be able to look at me in my face and sit down and tell me you are doing something wrong. Because we are not perfect people. God is perfecting us. We have to uphold to the totality of God's word. That is what Jesus came to die for. This guy was undermining God's work, and nobles were friends with him, nursing it, telling him stuff that Nehemiah was doing. Let us stop the gossip. Yeah? Let us stop the gossip. It doesn't help. The enemy will use it to break us apart, to set us against one another. And it is not popularity contest. I know this one, I don't know this one. We don't need to choose sides. We have to judge everything by the word of God. This guy was the child of, was among them, but undermining God's work. The enemy. It can be a husband. It can be a wife. You see, whatever God has given you to do, the enemy will sought to use people close to you against it. Don't allow that. Let's not allow the enemy. They reported his good deeds before me and reported my words to him. What is happening here? They reported his good deeds. Oh, he's such a good guy. Oh, he's such a loving guy. He gave us this. He does this for me. He does this. And then when they finish, whatever Nehemiah said, they will run back and go and tell Tobiah. There's a wise saying where I come from. The one that comes to tell you stories about others is the same person that will take you to others. Let's not gossip. Let's not choose side for our own personal interest. Hold to the word of God. The gossip is breaking us apart. The hearsays, when you don't even know the facts. Now, Nehemiah was the person being seen as the bad person. Nehemiah was the one being seen as the bad person,
and the Tobiah who was against God's word and God's doing and the walls that they are rebuilding to keep them safe is now the champion. Nobles, leaders, brothers and sisters, wherever you go, live by the word of God. Make sure you are obeying the word of God. Make sure. You see, these people, you remember last week when Pastor Paul Valerius was preaching here, he told us the story of China, how they were attacked 3 times after the walls of China were built. These great walls were built. Apparently, it is such a mighty sight. But while they built the walls to keep them safe, they forgot that they had to train the people, their children, to be integral people. And so, all the times they were attacked, somebody was bribed, was given money, and they opened the gate and let the enemies walk in. The devil will use any one of us that allows ourselves to come and disrupt and destroy the purpose of God for me and you here. And anything God is working on in your life, be very careful. These people are called the fifth column. The fifth column. And when you try to understand what the fifth column is all about, the fifth column, according to Dr. Dak Hewitt Mills, these are the people who are among a group of people who are harboring hate, who are harboring dishonesty, who are harboring bitterness, who are ungrateful, who are not willing to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Unrighteousness. And so any opportunity they get to give up and to betray one another, they do it. And so that is why we need to pay attention to this Nehemiah book and study the word of God. We need to open up our hearts to God. Because if you do not open your heart to God, the enemy will infiltrate your heart, I'm telling you. He will use every means. And these days, the temptation is so high that he can use anything to cause you to bring harm to the body of Christ. But the word of God says in Proverbs, the word of God says in Psalm chapter 1 to 41. I'm just going to read a few verses from there. Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. Do you see how to protect yourself from the devil and his corruption of your heart? Meditate on the word of God day and night. Keep it to your heart. Keep it to your heart. Keep it to your heart. And so we are coming to pray. Children of God, we are a community of believers. And we need to pray. Proverbs 6:16 to 19 says, these 6 things the Lord hates, even that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. Those people God hates. Those things God hates. I don't know where you are in your heart and what kind of person you are. But just talk to God. If you are doing any of these things, repent. Ask him for forgiveness and ask him to take over your heart.
Ask him to help you live a life that is holy and righteous. Yeah? Just talk to him. Talk to him. Don't wait for music. Pray in Jesus' name. Pray in Jesus' name. Are you harboring that which is sinful?